Blog Talk Radio.
My God is awesome. We declare that my God is awesome. Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Reverend Alicia Smith Withers, pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. Beloved, we're in another hot day of August, and what else should we expect for August, but heat and humidity. So if you're in a cool part of the country, consider it a very special blessing. And we invite you to come to the District of Columbia and enjoy the heat with us at some summer time, a great way to have a vacation in D.C. I thank my listeners for listening in last Tuesday to the Reverend Rose Hudson Wilkin. I have gotten so many comments, and people were very excited about listening to the chaplain of this minister, who is the chaplain to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. It was an exciting show, very passionate, committed woman of God, and we were thankful to have her, and really hope to hear from her at another point, a very, very committed woman in serving in so many creative and wonderful ways. Tonight, my guest is another dynamic woman. Her name is Ryan Palmer. She was born and raised in Washington, D.C., which for me used to be such a novelty. I remember when I first moved to the District of Columbia, when I was a student at Howard University, it was such a rarity to meet a native Washingtonian. Everyone seemed to be from North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. And then I found that I got married here and I gave birth and raised a native Washingtonian. Ryan and my son actually went to high school together. So it is such a delight and an honor and pleasure to have her here this evening. So if you have friends who would love to hear from a dynamic, creative leader, invite them to call in, to listen in tonight. She's the newest leader on the staff at Martha's Table. You'll hear more about Martha's Table from Ryan, a thriving nonprofit in the District of Columbia. If you're a first-time listener, a special welcome to you. I invite you to tune in on a regular basis. Also, you can always turn your leisure time, your computer time, into a special opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life simply by listening on demand. Just log in and listen to one of the podcasts. The shows are exciting, interesting, and we hope you not only enjoy it, but share it with your friends. The Rev Up with Reverend Alicia show is a keeping it real show about life. I minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of the spirit. You know, we often think that ministers talk about the Bible and about God, and we do. We love it. We preach and teach about that, and we talk to and about the people of God and all of their experiences. I want you to know that this is a safe place to talk about everything from pop culture to politics. I invite you to follow the Rev Up show so that you don't miss the special broadcasts that are sometimes other than Tuesday evening. So just check out the site, check the Facebook page. You'll find out when we're having special broadcasts, and certainly when there are dynamic or creative news events, we try to have a special show featuring some of the topics that we are experiencing around the country and around the world. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God on Sundays at 6401 Chilham Place Northwest, 6401 Chilham Place Northwest. Our vision is a world where Goliaths do not prevail. I'm talking about the Goliaths of homelessness and the Goliaths of poverty and illness, and where the people of God know and trust the promises of God to provide a way of escape through Jesus Christ. I hope you're as excited about that vision as we are. Our mission is to share the promises of God and the power of God with the people of God. That means you. Our motto is Mission Possible, for with God, nothing is impossible. I also want to encourage you to call our prayer line on Wednesdays at 6 a.m. and 12 noon. You know, there are those times when we don't feel as if we can get a prayer through on our own, and truly we are to be in community with one another, and it is powerful to join your prayer with the prayers of the faithful. So if you have a prayer concern, I invite you to call in on Wednesdays at 6 a.m. or 12 noon and share your prayer concern. You can pray or others will pray with and for you. 605-475-4333. Let me give you that number again. 605-475-4333. And the access code is 213-781. 213-781. Remember, the Pavilion of God is a safe place and a sacred space, and you can come as you are. On a Sunday morning, I know a lot of you love to dress up, but you can come casual to the Pavilion of God, and our services are at 12:30. Tweet me at Rev Alicia. Follow me on Instagram, Rev Alicia, and you can always email me at revalicia@gmail.com. I invite you to like the Pavilion of God on Facebook, Pavilion of God, a Baptist community on Facebook. Check it out sometimes. You can find some wonderful words of inspiration, a prayer, a scripture, something that can help you move through your day and through your week. And now I want to invite you to begin with me at the beginning. Embrace the Alpha and Omega sacred connection to the divine. Beloved, open your heart, open your mind as I pray. Dear loving and mighty God, we confess that we often say, please, Lord, we beg and plead with you, Lord. We ask nicely for one thing or another. We ask at times, oh God, for food or shelter or clothing. We ask for health and strength. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for even the desires of our hearts. Yes, you've promised that we can ask. Well, we often ask when our stomachs are already full, when the meal we hunger for is within our reach. We ask for clothes when we have clothes on our backs and when our closets are full to overflowing. We say, please, Lord. We ask not because we must, but because we may. For you, O God, are our provider. So we ask now that you enable us to ask for relationship, divine relationship with you. Enable us to embrace an attitude of gratitude, hallelujah, for gratitude, an attitude of gratitude that will permeate our very being, gratitude that will transform our soul from greed to generosity, and from haughtiness to humility, gratitude that will ground us in your love for us open our hearts to the bountiful blessings that you have bestowed upon us, O God, so that we might say simply and sincerely, thank you. And it is in Jesus' name that we thank you. Amen and amen. Amen. What a blessed evening this is. I am so excited about tonight. If you are just joining us, welcome. I am Reverend Alethea with the host of Rev Up with Reverend Alethea, and I welcome you to this wonderful and exciting show this evening. As with every show, we're going to rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking. Join us in the dialogue by dialing 347-945-7723, 347-945-7723, or right on the blog, and I will share your comments and questions with our guests this evening, or you can even email me with your comments. Tonight, I am so fortunate to have as my guest Ryan Palmer, the new director of community outreach at Martha's Table in Washington, D.C. She is the newest member of the management team at Martha's Table. Ryan is a strong community advocate with over 10 years' experience serving youth and families in areas of high need. Ryan, welcome to Rev Up with Reverend Alethea.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on tonight, Reverend. This is truly an honor, so thank you.
Oh, an honor, yes, and I'm so excited. And for the listeners, I'm going to confess right now, so we can just break it down and keep it real. Ryan, I have known you since high school.
Yes,
I know many of your peers who are professionals in so many different ways. They are doctors and lawyers, and it's strange to go to them and have them look at me if they're a doctor, but I rely on them for legal advice, and now you are this wonderful, proficient, and powerful professional, so it's just a delight to have you on the show. And congratulations on your new job.
Thank you. Thank you. This is day two of week four, so it's brand new, but it's a great place to be. I'm feeling really good about it.
Okay, day two of week four. That's fantastic,
yes.
But it's great when we're still counting the days.
Right.
At some point, you're going to say it's just another day, but that's part of the process, and I'm sure everyone's enjoying this new energy and vision that you're bringing to the table. You know, so many in my audience know you. My audience is around the country, but there's a significant audience from Washington, D.C., and they know you and love you. They are celebrating the fact that you're a Washingtonian, that you went to public schools in the District of Columbia, that you were a program manager for Digital Media Academy, you were a part of the inaugural youth program of the D.C. Promise Neighborhood Initiative. You've just done so much here, Director of Grants and Communications at Excel Academy Public Charter School, which was the first public school for girls. And a founding CEO of Freedom Farms, which I love hearing. That is so fantastic. And for those who don't know, you know, Freedom Farms, for a person who grew up in, you know, just around the civil rights movement, that's so cool for me. And, you know, with an urban agricultural company with the mission of providing access to healthy food and sustainable workforce development. You know, that, if you're not impressed by that, I am, and I'm sure my audience, if they aren't, you need to know and think about Freedom Farms. I think it's wonderful. And, you know, the most exciting thing, and everyone has, I've gotten several notes since I indicated and shared with the audience that you would be on the show tonight. They remember you and know you because you led a citywide grassroots political campaign that resulted in over 25,000 votes for the first-time candidate, A.J. Cooper.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, I will say it's, if you've never had someone read your bio back to you, you ought to try it because it sounds pretty cool. But yes, you know, I will say that, you know, being home, you mentioned earlier, I'm a DC native, and being able to do these things in my hometown has just really been a fantastic experience. I've done a lot of work in Philadelphia and Baltimore, but there's nothing like working for your hometown. And there's certainly nothing like working beside the love of your life, and A.J. Cooper was just that for me, and he's the only person that could get me into politics. I'm so glad to have the experience, but, you know, we really kind of jumped into it, I think, not knowing what we were getting into, which was a good thing, because we went in with our ideals and just really did it. Yeah, it was great. You know, we jumped in, you know, he spoke to me one day and said, you know, I really think that I need to do something more. And he had already been doing a lot with teen pregnancy prevention across the city, and just, you know, just general, a lot of hands-on work with the youth. And he just said to me one day, you know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I think I want to run for office. And I said, all right, I got
oh,
your
wow.
back. And yeah, we just went into it, and it's a lot of work, but I think, you know, we learned a lot about what, you know, the people of the city really want, and you know, really what we found is that a lot of people want the same things, and that's a fair shot at success. And so I think, you know, we both sort of left that campaign completely exhausted, but with a renewed sense of purpose to kind of keep making sure that we could make sure that people get that.
You know, and it's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And there's so many around the country who might not know the name A.J. Cooper, but I think that there's so many things that impressed me with his campaign. And number one was his passion and your
yeah.
passion for the city. And, you know, some people simply want to win an election, and I got that. That's part of the reason you're running, and you're running hard and with long hours and lots of work. But mm-hmm. when you're passionate for to benefit the people of a city, wow, it kind of starts a new fire. And I think for those who are a bit jaundiced with respect to politics, you added and Jay added such a fresh perspective on
yeah.
Why we should do the very best for the city that we live in.
Yeah, and it was really it's interesting when you are walking into a room full of politicians, you know, to a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and so everyone is approaching it with this sort of, this is the way we do politics, and we walk in like, well, mm-hmm. or we could just do it this way, you know, and I think that what set certainly Jay apart, especially and you know, as a result, our campaign was that action piece. It wasn't about, you know, doing it the way we've always done it. It was, how are we going to get it done? And so
mm-hmm.
that action has always been something that, you know, has driven both of us. And, you know, until his passing in December, that was what he did. He just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so and I think
and I
he
like
inspired a lot of others.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the fact that he said, I want to do something more. And for those of you around the country, this young man made his transition in December 2014 after this incredible, wonderful campaign. And left an incredible legacy. It's rare that a first-time candidate leaves a legacy.
Yeah, he, you know, our first campaign was back in 2012, and we were in the middle of a campaign. He had just revved up to start running for the Ward 4 seat, but I think the difference is that in between campaigns, he didn't stop. And that, I think, was sort of the solidification of that legacy. It wasn't about what am I going to do on the campaign trail. It was what am I going to do in my city. And that was, you know, really what led to the founding of Freedom Farms and what led to just, you know, so many just – I guess so much of his legacy that he's left behind was the work that he did off of the campaign trail, not just what he was doing in a T-shirt handing out flyers.
And so tonight I want the audience to know that though we're going to talk a great deal about Martha's Table doesn't stop us from talking about the individuals who serve in lots of different ways. So if your comments are about A.J. Cooper or your questions are about him and his legacy, we're open to talking about that because all of this ties together. We all serve in so many different ways, and his service was powerful, continues to inspire so many young adults and teens, and even those who are older, we are inspired by him. And but I invite comments about that, about his life and his work as well. Would you share with the audience what's happening on the 17th of August, the A.J. Day, Cooper Day of Service? Can you share a little
Absolutely.
Bit about that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, because of that that legacy that you mentioned, you know, the city council back in December passed a resolution designating his birthday as a day of service across the district. And so, you know, in talking to Councilmember McDuffie and his staff, who he put forth the resolution, you know, he said, listen, we really want this to be something that represents Jay's legacy, you know, in the way that, you know, we like to think he would want it to. And so we really gave some thought to it. You know, I did a lot of talking with Jay's mom and his siblings and, you know, some close friends, and we really just decided we wanted to make it a day of action as well as something that's inclusive. And so there's a quote that I'd like to read you that he left on his Facebook page 2 years ago on his birthday. And he said, "My only birthday wish is that you do something kind for someone today. It can be a small thing or a big thing, as long as it spreads joy. Let's make the world a better place, one act of kindness at a time."
Wow.
And so, yeah. And I mean, so talk about leaving a legacy, right? He told us exactly what he wanted for his birthday. And you know, so we're encouraging people. This is what he did for his birthday. He'd set up a grill, or, you know, we go out and find a spot on Georgia Avenue and cook some hamburgers and hot dogs and
Ooh.
Hand out food to anyone who walked by. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that was it was a small thing, but it made such a difference. And so what we're asking people to do on Monday the 17th is to hashtag give like AJC3. So we know a lot of people will be traveling or, you know, not able to really get off work to do something huge as a community service project. You know, a lot of times
mm-hmm.
it's this mystical thing. So we're just saying do what you can. If you want to organize a cleanup for your whole community, then do that. If you want to go read a book to a child or buy a cup of coffee for a stranger, do that. You know, whatever it is, just make sure it spreads some joy. And I really think that, you know, he really believed that through his actions he could change the world, and I think he was right. So I think if we all get together and on the 17th, hashtag give like AJC3, we'll be able to do that. Yeah. And there's also, I'll plug the website in case anyone wants more information just about Jay or about the day of service. It's www.ajcooperdc.org.
Yes, and it's on the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea blog talk radio site. That information is there, www.ajcooperdc.org. So please share, and share it on your Facebook. Encourage others to give and to do some mindful, wonderful gift, as you're suggesting, buy a cup of coffee for someone. And it's finding a great way to share. So thank you. And we're going to talk more about that. I'm certainly going to post it on my Facebook page and my church's Facebook page.
Thank you.
And honor Jay and honor the values that he stood for and worked for. What would he say about your job now?
You know, I think he'd think it was something pretty fantastic. It's to me, to be honest, I know this sounds very lofty, but it really is my dream job. I've done a lot of work in education. I've done a lot of work around healthy eating and just generally trying to, work in partnership with families to really help us all work together to build up the community. That's really what Martha's Table is all about. They really have a holistic view, I think, of what it takes to really promote that sense of a strong community. It's something that, I sort of had to be reintroduced to Martha's Table. It in my mind, being, again, a native Washingtonian, it's the soup kitchen on 14th Street. and I think a lot of people sort of think of it that way. But, it's really grown over the years to become something fantastic. Certainly we have our healthy eating component, which, encompasses McKenna's Wagon that goes out and makes three stops 365 days a year, feeding
that
people who may need it.
That is incredible.
It's amazing. I went out on McKenna's Wagon for the first time last week, and it was life-changing, I'll say that.
Say why it was life-changing. Can you share what you mean by that?
I think there's a number of reasons. I mean, there's a humbling piece to it. You sort of realize gratitude has a whole new meaning, I think. But it also changes your perception of who might be hungry, who you may pass on the street that you might not even realize, is waiting for McKenna's Wagon at the end of the day. A lot of times we think about a certain type of person, as needing assistance. A lot of the people, and I think that between McKenna's Wagon and our food pantry where people can come and get food and, some of our markets, it's surprising in some ways, the people who we are really supporting, and standing with as they're trying to move forward in their lives. A lot of people aren't, I guess the perception is, oh, people are looking for a handout, and that's just not true. A lot of people, especially in D.C., are working their behinds off and still need a little bit more to help their families out at the end of the month, especially with, the cost of living is rising and not necessarily wages in the city. We may be that end of the month connection that helps get someone's family fed. It's really eye opening. And we also, we have our Healthy Start program where we've got 200 children enrolled, and these are all children of working families or families, parents who are enrolled full time in school. It's not.
That is absolutely incredible.
It's amazing, and I think that the misconception is that, the job of a community-based organization is to sort of improve the resiliency of people because, they don't know how to do that. That's not what we're doing at all. The people that we work with and support are the most resilient people in this city. It's just a matter of, giving them that extra push and that extra piece of support to get them where they're already headed. Well, thanks. It's something that, I really believe that Martha's Table is committed to, and there's that third component of healthy connections, and so how are we supporting our youth? How are we connecting? We don't do traditional service referrals, but we do, make sure that our parents are sort of aware and our families are aware of some of the opportunities that are at their disposal that they may not otherwise know about. We help them become better advocates for themselves. I think it's a real, like I said, it's a real holistic approach. And I think Martha's Table is maintaining that commitment, and I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Right. I tell you, the fact that it has a holistic approach, but in addition to the fact that it is a nonprofit that is thriving, when you said Martha's Table is that place where you go to serve, and I chuckled because it has been around for so long, but many of the nonprofits that have been around for so long are not thriving. They're not building. They're holding on. They're maintaining, which is good. So I salute them for doing that. But Martha's Table is unique. And I encourage the audience to kind of check out the website, begin to see why it is unique. It's the place that many high school students or elementary school students serve for the first time. You know, they learn about community service often right there at Martha's Table.
Mm-hmm.
It is where many people would literally, you know, cut their eye teeth in volunteering. It's that great place where there is this very holistic approach to the work that it does. So there's the program for children. Can you go through the programs again?
Yeah, so there's Healthy Start, which is our children's program. There's Healthy Eating, which encompasses that's McKenna's Wagon and our Joyful Food Markets at the schools and our other, you know, we have tons of other markets that we do throughout the city. And then there's Healthy Connections, which is supporting our older youth and our parents and just, you know, connecting them with service and leadership and work and, you know, helping them just kind of with that extra, there's that extra component, you know, that not everyone has access to the same opportunities. And so we're sort of trying to fill in that gap a little bit. And what I will say is that a lot of the, at least my perception of why Martha's Table continues to thrive is sort of an ongoing commitment to evolving with our families, you know, which I'm sure you were going to talk about this a little bit later, but it's one of the reasons that we're expanding over into Ward 8 now, and it's one of the reasons why I believe my position was created. My position didn't exist a few months ago, and I think it's a real commitment. It was one of the reasons that I was attracted to the organization is that there's a concerted effort to make sure that we are working with our communities to make sure that
that's
our programs
great.
Are, you know, we don't want to impose our ideas of what programming looks like on communities. We want to make sure that we're building alongside. And so it's something that I've really noticed and felt and continue to feel in my 3.5 weeks here. but, you know, it's something that it's a real commitment. I admire that. Having had interactions with a number of organizations, this is the first that I think it really it permeates through everything that everyone does here.
So what will you be doing? And well, we now know something about Martha's Table, but before I even go on, I have a listener who said, "Is this her dream job?" And I wasn't going to ask you the question. I was kind of saying, what will the answer possibly be? But then you said this is a dream job for you.
It is.
Help this person understand what this dream job will entail, or what does it entail? I mean, how will you be, and what kind of community outreach will you be engaged in?
It's going to be a lot. I'm actually working on my plan now. And I think will continue to evolve, but we are we're looking at it in a couple of different ways. So we've got our 14th Street community, we've got our Ward 8 community, and we've got just our broader, you know, volunteer and support community. And so, you know, my job is to sort of interact with all of those communities and really take into account the feedback and help to incorporate that into our programs. You know, I guess practically what that looks like is, you know, I've been going to community meetings regularly, especially in our new neighborhood of Ward 8, some of the ANC meetings, some of the broader councils like the Anacostia Coordinating Council and meetings of the faith community over in Ward 8. As you know, it's important that we're, you know, aligning ourselves with some of the work that's already being done. That's one of the things
we don't
want to go in and say, hey, we're going to recreate the wheel over here. No, we realize that there are a number of organizations, especially in Ward 8, right now that are doing the work that we hope to further. And so we don't want to wipe them out. We want to make sure that we're building with them. And we want to listen to what they have to say and learn from their tenure and really, you know, help to make sure that all of our work is complementary. You know, there's no reason to, like I said, recreate the wheel, but there's also no reason to compete. And so I think there's going to be a lot of listening. There's going to be a lot of keeping folks in the loop and, you know, getting that feedback, and I'll sort of be the go-between. And, it, you know, a lot of it will be some high-level government outreach, you know, visiting and just sort of advocating with some members of the council, and but a lot of it will be with sort of our unofficial community thought leaders. And so
wow,
I really see my
great.
Job as, you know, I see my job as not only, you know, figuring out who those people are, but really, really listening to them and trying my best. You know, I'm a mediator as well as an attorney by trade, so I always try to find kind of that bottom line and that common ground that we can all start from. So, you know, everywhere I'm going now, I'm handing out cards and, you know, and I'm encouraging people to reach out to me, and I'll, you know, I'm reaching out to them and promising that it's not the last time they're going to see me, because it's not. I don't want it to be a one-touch thing. So, you know, you'll hardly ever catch me at my desk, but I'll be, you know, more so out in the community.
That's novel and wonderful to know we have a visionary who actually believes in the people and listens to the people. And I hate, you know, that's so hackneyed to say, listen to the people, and people want to know who they are. But we're here, and we do need to reach out. Do you know we have Anthony Lorenzo Green, who is listening? I see his name, and he said, glad to listen. Ryan is the best. Would you help the audience know who Anthony Lorenzo Green is?
Yes, Anthony Lorenzo Green, Commissioner Anthony Lorenzo Green, is the ANC Commissioner for 8B04, which is the single-member district over in Ward 8, where our new development will be built. Anthony Lorenzo and I met a couple of years ago on Jay's campaign, and you know, he and I have worked on a couple of projects since then, and I was overjoyed to see that he was the ANC commissioner, that it was his SMD where we would be building. And so he and I are going to be working very closely together. We've actually already seen each other twice in the time in my few short weeks here. The first that just, you know, just kind of him getting me up to speed, and then we met with some of his constituents, because, you know, again, this is an ongoing conversation, and, you know, since we are literally in his backyard, you know, he's one of those community leaders that I'm going to be really working with over the course of this. We're slated to open our new facility in Q1 2018, and so over these next couple of years, Anthony Lorenzo and I, Commissioner Green, will be really working together.
Well, I invite you and Commissioner Green to come on the show and share some of the projects that you're engaged in.
Wonderful.
So that the community, you know, so often, especially today, people want to listen and listen again, and to what their leaders are saying, and they really will refine their questions, and they will get the courage sometimes to speak their minds. And share some of the insight they have. As you said, they are the ones that know sometimes many more of the specifics of the concerns than many of those
Absolutely.
Who are working where you're working, and even Commissioner Green. I'm sure he engages in dialogue with the community in a lot of different ways. But this is yet another tool for continuing the education and the dialogue.
Absolutely.
And those, you know, it's so funny, we are sometimes shy on the phone, but if you want to speak directly to Ryan, we'll have to click one on your phone, and I'll know, and I can see the questions coming in from those who are listening online. One person wants to know what compelled you to take the, was this, you said it's a dream job, and is there a particular kind of advice that you can give to young women and young men starting out in more committed to service careers?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's that push to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
Any advice to young men and young women who are just beginning their journey?
You know, I would say to really just follow your passion. And I know that sounds really general, but let me, I guess, expand a little bit. You are very familiar with many of my peers, Rev, and you know that a lot of us are very driven, and, you know, a lot of people have had their, you know, 10, 15-year plans since high school, and they knew exactly what they were going to do, and they knew how they were going to get there. I have always been more mission-driven, and so if something came up that I was interested in, I just did it, you know, and it was something that anytime I tried to do something that my heart wasn't in, I did not do nearly as well. And I think that it hasn't made a whole lot of sense until right now, where all of these things have been leading me. And I still don't know what the next step is, you know, years down the road, but I really feel like stepping out on that faith that it would all come to a point where it would make a little bit more sense. Because if you look at my resume, it's not, I feel like in job interviews over the years, I've had to sort of consistently explain, well, yeah, this is kind of how it relates. And this is, you know, and I think just not being afraid of that, you know, especially in our goal-driven society, everyone is encouraging mm-hmm. people to have, you know, a very clear plan. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but I know that a lot of mission-driven people really just are compelled to do things that may not make sense to everyone else. And so I think not being afraid of that has really helped me to get where I am.
Wow. In the faith and religious world, we call that a call. And when we are called to and compelled to strike out in territories that are unfamiliar to us, sometimes mm-hmm. when we don't feel prepared for that particular call, but mm-hmm. we decide to follow it anyway. And so you seem driven with respect to the work that you're doing now and the work that you have been doing. And mm-hmm. there's that thin silver cord that ties all of these experiences together for you. Are you experiencing mm-hmm. that now, that they're all so connected?
I am. I really am. And just even the timing of everything, this really has felt very divine. I mean, just losing Jay in December was the absolute hardest thing I've ever had to live through. It does, you know, experiences like that, I think, change, you know, inevitably your perspective. And so when this opportunity presented itself and the way in which it did, it seemed like this such a clear, here you are, this is the path that you walk, and I just did it, I just went for it. And I think that there could have been a lot more anxiety around it, but, you know, my newfound perspective, I think, helped a little bit or helped a lot, and it just really feels like the right place. And, you know, I don't want to romanticize it. I know it is, at the end of the day, it is a job. There will be challenges. There will be, days where I have to drag myself out of bed to get in here. But, it feels exactly like where I need to be. And, you know, to know that I have what I do for work is something that brings me such fulfillment, you know, because I am able to support and stand with the people of DC. It's something that I couldn't have dreamed of it.
Yeah, it's amazing how there are those points in life where you are so fulfilled or so satisfied with the work. As you said, it doesn't mean that you're not exhausted. It doesn't mean that things simply always go that well, but
right.
there is that sense of fulfillment. And it's very gratifying to be in those moments. So today I saw something on your Facebook page of this afternoon that, again, it talks about how life has its challenges. Someone posted that the memorial for Jay mm-hmm. had been vandalized.
Yeah.
Have you seen it already? I saw it,
and, you know, I just sort of took a deep breath. I was actually in a meeting when I saw it, and, you know, it seems that the artist has already decided, you know what, I've got a better idea of what to do with it, and I don't – it's hard to really – again, it's that perspective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really upsetting that someone would think to do that, and I don't know why. I don't know what the motive behind it was, and I don't know that we'll ever know.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those things that you just have to look at and say, well, what are we going to do next? So, it's a tough thing, and I know that Zudeyka, I hope I pronounced her name correctly. I know that she had worked really hard on it, and we were really excited to unveil the mural at the barbecue this Sunday. But, you know, we'll still be out there, and we'll still be celebrating Jay's life. And, you know, I just have to hope that maybe someone will understand what that mural represents, and will decide not to do that again. And we can show solidarity as a community by just putting it back up. You know,
I'm laughing because that is so powerful, and the joy. I mean, I am overjoyed just to hear you speak those words. And sometimes we speak in a way that our words create the reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we want peace, we speak peace. When we want hope, we speak hope. And it's so important for you to say, "Well, just start again." And there's such a powerful message in starting again. The irony is that when things seem complete, we think it's done, but we are still starting again. So it's
that is so true.
A wonderful reminder for so many who face so many challenges in life that we need to start again and to know that there are resources for us. Not only our inner resources, but those around us. I spoke to a young woman this week who is a breast cancer survivor, and she lost her job after going through chemo and radiation and a mastectomy. She lost her job, and now she's lost her apartment, and she's going to be living in her car. And I heard the commitment for her to simply start the day again.
Yeah.
And this is that reminder that we're all, and I thank you also, there's so many things you said tonight that excite me, that there's not a label that we wear on our head. So many of us are in the struggle. If you saw her on the sidewalk walking downtown on K Street, you couldn't identify her as the person who was a breast cancer survivor, the person who just lost her apartment, the person who was living in her car. She would just be a woman, a young woman who is walking down the street. And we have to figure out as a community how to hear each other's pain, hold each other's hand, and start again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that support can mean so much. I will say that you know, in addition to his work on, you know, here on the ground in the D.C. community, Jay, you know, Jay's been at this since he was a teenager when he was hosting Teen Summit on BET. And so when he passed 8 days after we got engaged, all of the love that he had put out into the world, I felt coming back to me, to his family, you know, and that it was palpable. And, you know, it was one of those things that I never thought possible in a time of just heartbreak, that there would be so much light and so much support coming our way. And it makes a difference. You know, I think it helped, you know, I can't speak for anyone else, but I think I know it helped me get up and keep moving. And it's really, it's something that you can't understand the impact of until you experience it. And, you know, but I think that as a community and just as people, you know, we've all been through our own trials. And so just realizing that you never know what someone else is going through, it goes a long way. It really does.
Yeah, for those of you who are on the West Coast listening, and who, if you don't know Ryan and you don't know Martha's Table and you don't know Cooper, that's okay. You know the challenge of life. And so yep. I invite you to check out Martha's Table. Go to the website. I invite you to check out the website for Jay Cooper. I invite you to follow Ryan Palmer as she engages this new aspect of her journey. And I'm inviting you to do this not just to know her, but to begin to have this opportunity to see possibilities for yourself. And that's the exciting part of this show, Ryan, is that we're sharing information and we're opening ourselves for inspiration, which you're offering to me and to the listeners, and we're discovering possibilities. And yeah. That's important for us to do together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's your goal for this time next year at Martha's Table? Do you have a vision for a year from now? Are you that person who sets out a goal for a year?
Well, I'm currently working on those, my 30, 60, 90 and my year-long goals.
Okay,
but
wow.
I think just overall, it is to still be this enthusiastic and to still be reaching out to people and really to have, really identified the communities, plural, that, you know, we need to be sure that we are continuously interacting with and continuously consulting as we embark upon this new journey. And, you know, to really just kind of strengthen and solidify, you know, I think Martha's Table is already, you know, quite the institution in D.C. But,
yeah.
You know, I hope that I'm able to make sure that we're not just resting on those laurels and that we are really truly incorporating the feedback and making sure that we are integrating into the community rather than showing up and grafting onto it.
Okay.
So,
and I want you to come back in a year from now, but before you leave tonight, I have a caller who would like to make a comment or share a question. Caller 64280, would you share your comment or question?
Well, first I want to say thank you to Ryan for accepting that position at Martha's Table. This is Anthony Lorenzo Green.
Hello.
And I've been excited to listen in tonight. As I shared with you online, Ryan is the best. When I heard that she accepted that position to do community outreach for Martha's Table, it really let me know that Martha's Table is really serious about being engaged with the community, integrating with the community, as Ryan said, not just moving in as you see a lot of different development projects across the city do. And that was my message 2 years ago when we started, well, when we restarted the conversation in our community about the project. Community engagement is key. You have to keep people engaged. You got to let them know what's going on. They may not show up to all the meetings, but at least they see that there was an effort that you wanted them to be part of this amazing project. And that's something that they have been consistent with throughout this entire time, especially a year ago when Martha's Table came on board with Horan Brothers to make their commitment whole. And as you see with the Joyful Markets and Moton in that various elementary schools in Ward 7 and 8, you see their commitment with the, what we call them, the seasoned citizens, not senior citizens, but the seasoned citizens.
Yes.
They're very staunch about that. they make sure that they were engaged with them to let them know that there are programs that benefit you as well, because we know that working families has a very broad definition in our city. It doesn't typically mean that there's a mother and father in the household. Sometimes it's the grandmother that's leading the household. Sometimes the single mother may be living with the grandmother and has a job, trying to get their education at the same time in the evenings, but they just need extra help to keep it moving. And I think we really need to, as a goal across the city, that we are really investing in our working families to let them know that there is somebody that's here for you. You're not in this alone. And we got to make sure that we let our families know that they are their best advocates. And I'm glad that that's Martha's Table vision. I'm glad they got a visionary on their team that's going to push this goal forward. And I'm excited about the project. I'm looking forward to it.
Wow, that's very good. Well, I'm honored to have you on the show, Commissioner Green. And I invite you to come back and perhaps bring a member of the community or a couple of members of the community to talk about some of the concerns that you have and the ways that we're working on it. We see you're engaged with Martha's Table and Ryan Palmer, and that's fantastic. So we're
everyone
so
knows
glad.
Martha's Table. Everyone knows
yes.
Martha's Table. So that's a plus. This is something
mm-hmm.
that people
uh-huh.
know. They've had to use their services or had to reach out to them for something. They know Martha's Table. There's a record.
There's a trust and there's relationship. That's important to know the
yeah.
trust and relationship. We have listeners from around the country. Commissioner Green, can you just share for a moment what your job entails as commissioner? Many cities don't have the political structure that we have in the District of Columbia. So can you just share our listeners what you do?
Sure. As you know, here in the District of Columbia, we don't have full voting rights, but we do have a city council, and each council member represents a ward, and we have four at-large members. And in each ward, they're broken down by advisory neighborhood commissions and single-member districts within those commissions. I serve as a representative for single-member district ABO4, which includes parts of the Fort Stanton and Hillsdale communities where the project is coming, and also serve as the chairman of Advisory Neighborhood Commission 8B. And my responsibilities really is to keep the agenda of the commission moving forward, making sure that the government is responding to the concerns of their constituents, making sure that if there are people who need services in the government, they get connected to it. If there's a program that can benefit you, make sure that you're aware about it. And if there's some type of development project or zoning issue or if you need your sidewalk paved, we're the ones that make sure that it gets done. We're the grassroots level of the government. Sometimes the council
yeah.
members can't see everything. But since mm-hmm. we're in the community, we make sure they know about what's going on. And that's really our job. We don't get paid to do it. You know, it's volunteer, but we get elected to do it. That's the trust because we want to make sure that people trust the people that are working on their behalf. So.
And I will say that Commissioner Green embodies that commitment. I mean, like I said, I was just so excited to hear that it was his SMD that we'd be working in. So, you know, he's just a pleasure to work with, and he really understands. He has a pulse on his single-member district. So.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, we thank you for calling in this evening, and you've kind of brought a wonderful conclusion for this show. You certainly are welcome to come at any time. Just drop me an email or call me, Commissioner Green, and I will plan a time for you to come on, if only for part of the show, even if I have something else scheduled. We'd love to hear from local constituents and local leaders because it helps people around the country know that all of our voices really matter. And our great part of the job is dialogue and listening to those who have their feet on the ground, or people say their ear to the ground. So however you want to look at that, but those who are literally the grassroots of our community. So thank you, and keep listening to Rev Up with Reverend Alicia. Ryan, you got any last words for us?
I just want to say thank you so much, Reverend Alicia. I mean, it's really, like I said, it's an honor to be on here. You know, it's funny when you were reading back my bio, you know, when you're in the middle of doing the things, you don't really stop to think about what you're doing. And so that you would think that anyone would want to hear about what I'm doing is just amazing. And, you know, and I just, you know, I do look forward to coming back in a year because, you know, I count on my community to hold me accountable to what I say I'm going to do. And, you know, I really hope that in a year I can continue to move the vision and the mission of Martha's Table forward and in a way that is the most respectful and helpful to our community. So I look forward to it and just thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Well, audience, we are so blessed to to have had Ryan Palmer with us this evening. I want to give you the address for Martha's Table, 2114 14th Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. The information is on the Blog Talk Radio site. Feel free to check that site. Contact a Martha's Table. Call in and see how you can serve. Tonight we heard from Ryan Palmer, the new director of outreach for Martha's Table. Ryan Palmer. Ryan is a visionary with all that she does, whether it's the citywide grassroots political campaign or digital media academy, or an inaugural youth program, or writing grants for public schools for girls, or creating an urban agricultural community with a mission of providing access to healthy food and sustainable workforce development. In every circumstance, Ryan perseveres and inspires. She has inspired me, and I hope she inspired you tonight. Every city needs a Martha's Table. Think about it. With all the economic growth in this country and in the District of Columbia, there are still thousands upon thousands of people, particularly children, who need education, food, and opportunity. Martha's Table helps to meet those needs. The success of any nonprofit organization resides in the people like Ryan, who helped to carry out its mission. Ryan Palmer is a resource for Martha's Table and for the multitude who will benefit from its mission. Table, for those of you who don't know, is that place where President Obama volunteered. He made sandwiches and washed dishes. Martha's Table is where the hungry eat, children learn, and opportunity meets the person in need. If you haven't been there and you're looking for a place to volunteer, your service or to give a donation that will accomplish a lot, simply contact Martha's Table. You will end up thanking them for the opportunity. Beloved, until next time, rev up, accelerate, and energize your life.